Hi and welcome, I'm Tom, your host, and this is the Dropcast Movie Poster Podcast. This format is part of the Instagram blog Drop, and you can find us under @DropMacOfficial. We do reviews, news, and interviews that all have to do with the film business. And today we will have a chat with the grim goat of movie posters, Matt Ferguson. And we might make him laugh, but who knows? So stay tuned and head over to our Instagram profile, @DropMacOfficial, to follow along with the art we are talking about, or check us out on YouTube for the video version. Matt Ferguson, how are you, man?
Hello, I'm okay.
It's early today, and there's going to be some time till the interview comes out. It's going to be at the end of the week, and we're talking on Tuesday. So I heard there's some new stuff coming up soon. We will talk about that a little bit later. But first off, I've picked three artworks of yours that I want to get into a little bit. Okay. And the first one I want to get into is your... obviously, your Guardians of the Galaxy posters that got this all started. I think a lot of people know about these, and can you tell us a little bit something how this happened and what it's all about?
Is this the Star Wars?
Yeah, exactly.
Star Wars. Okay, so I'll just be honest. In 2014, when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I was working in a record store, so I was just working in a shop. And I remember being excited about Guardians of the Galaxy and all my work colleagues being like, no, that's weird. It's a talking raccoon. What are you even excited about? And I said, it's going to be this generation's Star Wars. I said, I'm going to make a fan poster of it in Star Wars style. And I did it.
Okay.
And then put it online. That's the end.
Why did you pick this particular piece in terms of the style, this iconic style? There are different Star Wars posters in regards to that.
The Star Wars poster when I was a kid was, it's not the classic Tom Jung one. In Europe and the UK, it was a Hildebrandt version, which was a bit more pop art and a bit more bright and colourful, which is kind of more like Guardians of the Galaxy style. So it just sort of made sense in my head to do that because of the sort of stylistic similarities in terms of the tone of the film.
Okay. And are you a big fan of the film, or is it...
What, Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah. Okay.
Brilliant. I love it.
Okay, perfect.
I don't have to say that. I could say I hate it.
Yeah, you could. That's why I'm asking. I want real opinions.
It's a really, really good film.
Okay.
I think it's probably top five Marvel films. Okay. Easy. Top five. Yeah. Probably in the top couple.
But which one do you like better, the first or second?
I think the first one had that surprise factor because it came out and nobody was expecting this weird film with talking trees and raccoons and stuff to be that good. So it had that. Where it was like, wow, this is so much better than we could ever have expected. Yeah. But I like some of the themes in the second one more, like with the father issues with, obviously, Ego and Yondu and stuff. So I think I like them about the same for different reasons.
Okay. And speaking of top five Marvel films, what is the top one position for you?
Thor Ragnarok, I think.
Okay, yeah. Same with me. I really love that movie.
It goes between Thor Ragnarok and Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Captain Marvel is not that high in my regards, but yeah, fair.
I've got a daughter, and I just think that she's got a superhero that she can...
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's like, obviously, a woman. It's just amazing.
Exactly.
It's a really good movie. And I'm a 90s person as well, so I like all the 90s trappings. Yeah.
I see. Okay, the second one I want to talk about, because I heard a bit of the story about, is the Flash Gordon pieces you did for the 4K remastered version. I will like put in the graphics while we're talking, but so let me hear the story, the Matt Ferguson Flash Gordon story.
The whole story from the beginning?
Yes, please.
Okay, I was born at home in 1983, Christmas Eve, 1983, because it was the UK TV premiere of Flash Gordon, and my dad wanted to finish the film. And I was the third of three children, so they were like, "Oh, whatever, it's fine." And they weren't worried, and they didn't think I would come out. But then I came out near the end of the film, apparently, as a little baby. So it was the first film, technically, that I ever saw. And then it became like a family tradition for us to watch it every year, because obviously it was like how I was born. And then obviously years later, Studio Canal came after I did the John Carpenter stuff, a couple of years ago. They were like, "Do you want to do Flash Gordon?" And I was like, "Yes, I was literally born to do this." And they were like, "What do you mean?"
Oh
So
my
I told them the
God,
story, but because they said to me that they were talking to a few other people as well, so they were like, "You're gonna have to pitch for it," because I don't usually pitch for stuff. Usually people just go, "You're the only girl." So my pitch was, "I'm born to do this," and they were like, "Well, you've won." So then I did the artwork, and the artwork was just me doing like my dream ridiculous Flash Gordon poster with as much stuff on it as possible, really.
Yeah, are you watching it on your birthday every time with your family, or is it or
Yeah,
just oh, okay, perfect, perfect.
usually.
Did your kids get in? Did you let the kids watch it yet, or your
No,
daughter?
she's too young still.
Okay,
She's
okay, okay.
only just three, so I
Okay, I
think
see.
she's a bit young. It's a bit of a weird
Okay,
film in
of
many
course.
ways.
Could you talk about your artwork? Why did you pick this kind of work? I mean, it's really great. I hope you guys from like do a vice press editions of this one in the future. Is that a possibility, by the way?
We are doing several versions of it,
Okay,
yes.
perfect.
24 by 36 and a smaller size and pins and all that sort of stuff. So enamel pins to go with it, like a big
Sweet.
thing. Yep.
And yeah, about the artwork, what were you thinking? In kind of process, what did you like? Why did you pick the images you picked?
I just wanted to make a poster that was everything but the kitchen sink, so just like as much crazy stuff within reason. Obviously, I could have put more because there's just endless amounts of crazy things in that film. But you need to have like the Hawkmen because that's just bonkers, and obviously a giant Ming, and then the floating spike platform, and just try and make it look as ridiculous as the film is. Lots of gold because it's like got it's all just the production design of that film is just insane. The sets are incredible, so I wanted to bring some of that in. So that's what I did.
Yeah, that's a really cool poster, and I can't wait for you guys to make this kind of artwork in the future. Okay, and the last one is obviously the big one everybody's talking about right now, The Empire Strikes Back, 40th anniversary key art. How did this happen? I pulled from the group, and I think you put it also on Twitter, the artwork from your book. But could you talk us through why in the end this came up?
I've got a relatively long-standing relationship with Disney and Lucasfilm, because it's obviously the same company nowadays, and Marvel. So they just came to me and said, "Do you want to do Star Wars Empire Strikes Back?" And I said, "Yep." I just was like, "Yep." I didn't do any negotiations, nothing.
Perfect.
It was just because, I mean, when you've got a relationship like that with a company, we know where we stand. We've already done previous work, so we just jumped straight in. And it was like a really quick early process. We did the roughs and we got set on a final one really quick. But then obviously, the coronavirus, everything exploded, and that changed the plans a little bit. I think it was going to be in cinemas and stuff. So, and it has been in a few in the UK now, but obviously it's not the best situation with the virus and stuff. So it's been an online promotion instead, which is fine because it's done really well. And then we took it to Bottleneck and did a screen print version of it as well.
Okay, and they're using key art at a couple places already. And is that a thing that did you basically sell this print to Disney so it can be used, or do you have to
Yeah,
be?
they own it. So it was just done as a work for hire where they just wanted a new poster to celebrate the anniversary. A bit like the special edition versions that Drew Struzan did, because it's like a new 4K transfer and all this sort of stuff. So they wanted something new, and different to advertise that,
Okay.
basically.
And are you wearing the shirt right now?
No, I've just got a standard
Oh,
Star Wars t-shirt on.
okay. Because I was doing the with Andy Fairhurst the other day, the release podcast, and he was wearing your shirt, so we
Well, that's to be expected.
of course it is. Okay, so this is kind of the start out, and now I want to get into it. How did you become this poster artist? I mean, you talked already about that you worked in a record shop for a long time, but did you go to university, graphic design schools, anything? How did this happen?
I did go to university, but I didn't do graphic design. I did film and literature. So I did a
Film and literature,
film
okay.
degree, which I didn't finish. Didn't finish it because I was a dropout. But before that, when I was younger, when I was around about 16, 17, I got into video game design. And I did a lot of, this is how I learned Photoshop and all these things really early on in my life, doing textures for games like Doom and Quake. I did a load of stuff for Quake 3 Arena.
Oh my
And then
God.
that sort of almost took off, and I did a few things, and I was gonna, when I was 17, I sort of got a job offer for a video game company. But I was like, I'm still in school, I don't know what to do. So I didn't do that in the end, and I sort of stopped, and that sort of faded away. And then when I met my wife at the record store where we met, she's now my wife. She wasn't my wife then, obviously. She was like, oh, you did all that cool stuff. And I made her a picture one time of Samurai Jack as a present. And then her and her sister were like, that's really cool. You should do more stuff. And then a few weeks after that, I did the Avengers picture just for fun. So that would have been 2011, 2012. And I had a Tumblr thing, like a blog on Tumblr, which obviously I don't know if Tumblr's a thing anymore. Put that on there and it went viral. The film studio saw it and then they hired me to do like the box set. So my first job doing this sort of stuff was doing the Marvel box set for the phase one. And then it just all went from there. I started working with Bottleneck and all that sort of stuff.
The phase one box set, I mean, the you had like an update version now, the Infinity whole Infinity Saga, where you put some stuff in. Is
Yeah.
it is that is that always like from day one when you started with the Avengers piece? Is that a dream of yours to fulfill that, or
I had
was it
no
just
idea. I was literally reacting
okay?
to the Avengers poster that came out at the time, and I wanted to do something different that was more like graphic and colorful. At the time, like Ollie Moss was obviously really big, so I was kind of, I had that in the back of my head, do stuff like that, cool Ollie Moss kid. And yeah, it took off.
Yeah, and speaking of Ollie Moss, is he one of your influences you
Oh,
had, or is
yeah. I think he influenced everybody
yeah.
back then, like 10 years ago, because he had this, it wasn't really a column, but he had an
Okay.
Empire magazine, and he did a film poster each month, like his take. And it was always really cool and graphic, and he always had those cool twists on images and stuff. And it was always what I looked forward to looking at in Empire magazine, I think, the most.
Okay, cool.
Because I've been a subscriber for years of Empire magazine, and I remember thinking, well, I could do that.
And
If he can do it, anyone can do it, and that's what I thought.
exactly.
And
And is are there any other influences you had before, like from other artists?
just like comic book art, so like I've been a long-term fan of 2000 AD, so people like Brian Bolland and stuff like that. Not that I draw or anything similar, I just love the artwork, so it sort of seeps in. Obviously Star Wars, so all of the concept art from the making of those and stuff, where the Ralph McQuarrie stuff has always been a big influence. And then here, my parents love David Hockney as an artist, and I've always really liked a lot of his artwork, and that he just does what he feels. Like, you can look at different David Hockney pictures through the years, and you could almost not tell they're by the same artist, because he's just doing what he wants to do right there and then. So I've always tried to apply that with what I do. I just do what I think is right for the picture, and don't necessarily always try and conform to a style.
Okay. So since I do a lot of movie reviews as well and TV show reviews, I'm wondering what was the last movie you saw?
Frozen 2. Just gone on Disney Plus here. So.
Oh, okay, okay. I think in Germany too. I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah, my daughter loves it. It's brilliant as well. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and are you also a fan of Frozen 1 then?
Yeah, not as much as Frozen 2. I think Frozen 2 was better.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's much better animation, but also I just thought the story was more involved. Like, obviously, Frozen 1 had those songs that were like iconic songs now.
Yeah.
But I think I enjoyed the second one more.
Okay, okay. Good take.
Personally.
And are you like, would you like to make a Frozen 2 poster, by the way, speaking of it? I mean,
If Disney go, Matt, do you want to do a poster for Frozen 2? I'm not going to say no, because I don't say no to Disney ever. So I would do it. But I'm not sure that I would fit in. And there's other artists that are better suited. They've already done stuff like Tom Whalen's one.
Yeah, I just pulled it up, yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And then there's an artist called, she's coming up. Is it Bella Grace?
Bella Grace, yeah, I know her.
She did a Frozen 2 poster, which I thought was really nice and colourful.
Exactly,
See, my stuff tends to be a little bit more, well...
On the dark side?
Just not as suited. I suppose I could do it. But...
Yeah, I think I would say so too. I think you're more grown up in this regard. let's put it this way.
I'm not grown up, but okay. Got the Transformers back there.
No. I mean, in a way of what your art or like the how your art is perceived in that way.
Okay,
cool. That's what I mean. we are still all in still arrested development. I mean, look at my figures; is there as well. So.
The way it should be.
Exactly. Okay. Are there any must-see movies coming out that you really? Oh, by the way, before I forget, before this question, did you watch Hamilton yet?
No, I've not had a chance. We've not had a chance to. So, but we're going to, because obviously that looks very interesting.
I tell you,
I've never seen it. Obviously, we never went to the stage show or anything. So, I mean, it looks amazing, doesn't it?
I can tell you already, it's so great.
It's on our list.
Yeah, I watched it twice already.
We've just finished Dark Series 3.
Oh!
We're open now.
Speaking of German stuff,
it's the best TV show ever.
Do you think?
I think it's probably the best TV show since Twin Peaks.
Okay,
In that sort of style. And it wouldn't have been if they hadn't have tied it all up, but they tie it all up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything made sense and it all worked and there was stuff that they introduced in series one that paid off in series three. So they must have known.
How was it starting season three? Did you have to rewatch just a lot of stuff?
We rewatched before, so we
perfect.
My wife worked out that they were gonna premiere it on the date of the apocalypse. She was like, they did it with series two, so they'll do it on this date for series three because she's really into it.
Yeah, cool.
So we were like, let's do that. And we timed it, so we finished series two like the day before series three started. So we just went straight in.
Okay. How was it? Did you watch it obviously in English, right?
No, in German.
In German
subtitles.
Okay, perfect.
I can speak German now. I feel like I can speak fluent German.
Perfect. Yeah.
We switch now. Be around like ich bin du and stuff.
See that? There you go. That was good. Ich bin du. Perfect.
Yeah. They say that a lot in Dark.
Yeah. It's their mantra, you can say. Okay, yeah, perfect. But yeah, it was a great show. I watched it like on the first day when it came out the week before. And yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. By the way, I went to a couple there like around in Berlin. There are a couple like filming locations of the show. So you could basically, for example, the school is like in Berlin actually, and the other stuff is like around in like forest areas, and you could get there pretty easily, and it's like really cool to see all the dark stuff, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's really good.
Alrighty. What are your favorite posters right now?
Whatever.
Right now could mean like in the last couple weeks you've seen, or forever. Forever could also be whatever you like. If that's your favorite,
I like classic artists, obviously like Drew Struzan. I really like Bob Peaks. I've got the Star Trek the motion picture poster, and I really love that poster a lot. So that's probably
that's the original run, right? The first
with the three heads and it's
exactly
like the rainbow
yeah.
shooting up, and it's just it's it. It's iconic for one, but also I think it's quite influential as well. It's like,
And since it's Pride Month, it fits perfectly, I'd say.
Yeah, it's just brilliant. It's Star Trek as well with that. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, you picked also the Tom Jung one for Star Wars.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would be just because I was doing my research for the recent poster.
Okay.
And my new poster is sort of my take on that, really, with the large Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. Like the initial concept that I first did before I came up with the thumbnail of the little Vader in the chamber was more a big... I was going to do a big looming Vader with his fist, or he was going to be reaching out to try and grab the Millennium Falcon. But then I just was like, that's kind of been done.
Okay.
Obviously, like, better by somebody like Tom Jung. So I thought I wanted to do something simpler and more refined, and then that's when I came up with the meditation chamber. So it's like, it's my favorite at the moment just because it was the stepping stone to me doing that.
You mentioned the Drus Drusen. It was Wrath of Khan, right?
Pop Peak.
Oh, that's Pop Peak.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because you included that as well, and you said you made also a poster version of that. Did you? Is that included?
I did a poster of the Wrath of Khan years ago when I did all the films. It's not very good, so okay. I don't know if I included it. I would do a better one now, I reckon.
Okay, maybe at some point you need to go back to that.
I just love that film. That's like my favorite film. So
okay, cool.
The poster is just one that I had up when I was a kid.
Do you like to do like those, like, let's call it passion projects in this kind of regard that you...
Yeah, most of the stuff I do tends to be a passion project, either because I love the film or it becomes that way because I start doing research and I get into it and I work stuff out and it just becomes like an obsession. It's like the Hocus Pocus steelbook.
Yeah.
That became an obsession for me because I just wanted to make sure everything was right. So on the back, which hasn't been shown, there's like the graveyard and the gravestones, and I scrubbed through the film and made sure the gravestones said the right stuff.
Perfect.
Things like that. So if it's not a passion project, then the artwork won't be very good.
Yeah, okay, I see. But I meant more in terms of, though, do you have your own where you don't have a license yet? Do you do that and, like, post it still? Like maybe back in the days?
Oh, just for fun stuff.
Yeah,
No, I don't really do that.
Not enough time?
I did a Thor Love and Thunder one when they announced that.
Yeah, okay.
Just, like, because I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to post it because someone's going to ask me to make one. Probably officially, they if they don't, I'll be annoyed. Yeah. So
okay, so Disney,
so you post that, but if they come knocking, I've got a concept already for that.
Yeah, Disney, you heard it. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. The beginning, I wanted to ask you, what is a must see movie that will come out soon? Is it something you're really looking forward to watch in the cinema, and you maybe want to do something for as well?
I would love to see the new Bill and Ted film.
Okay.
Either in cinemas or at home, to be honest. Like, I'm not sure I'm particularly, like, eager to go to the cinema right now.
Yeah, I can understand.
I miss it, obviously, because I used to go to cinema a lot, but right now I'm not particularly... Oh, I do really want to see that film. So it's either going to be, I guess, delayed till next year or later in the year.
Mm.
Or go straight to streaming. But either way, I really want to see it because I love Bill and Ted.
Okay. Is there going to be a trilogy?
I've been talking about doing a poster for it, but I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay, cool. And by the way, what was the last movie you saw in a cinema? Do you remember?
Star Wars. It was The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay. So, yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
I see.
December.
Yeah, quite some time.
We cut down early on in February. That's when we decided as a family to be a bit more locked down.
Okay, I see.
Because I didn't trust anything.
Yeah, understandable. I mean, the situation is not that good in Britain. So yeah.
No, it's not.
Yep. Okay. So since we talked about your favorite posters, I was wondering, what is your opinion on the gallery scene out there? I mean, they are the ones that bring all the good stuff to the fans. Are there? Do you enjoy doing this gallery work, or would you rather do other kind of commissions, like a lot of people do key art and private commissions and stuff like that?
I'm not going to do private commissions anymore because...
But you did that at to some
I've
point?
Done a couple, yeah. Okay. Just earlier on.
Mm.
It's more just like when you've got a group of people, they all want to have a say. So that can be a bit annoying. And also I'm sticking to like licensed stuff, official work and stuff. So that's just kind of out the window. But I do love working with people like Bottleneck Gallery, obviously.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for all this craziness, I'd be probably wanting to be planning another exhibition with them, because doing the exhibitions with them is the best.
Yeah.
Like a Distant Lands Part 2 is percolating in the back of my head.
But could we do it in Europe this time, please?
Well, there would be the chance to do, like, I've always wanted to do, like, a rolling art show where you do it and then you move to different locations, because it's not just about, like, that opening and selling the prints. I've found people do like just to come in and have a look, like a normal exhibition.
Yeah.
So I did that one a couple of years ago with the gallery and Thought Bubble, where it was like just all of my artwork, and there wasn't really much for sale because it was just personal copies of stuff.
Yeah.
But that went down really well, and then there was some people that came and saw it and they were like wanted to work with me and things like that. So
yeah, that's
exhibitions are cool.
That's basically what I did. Like when we were like the first time we got in touch was for like I did like an art show to like make it more known here. And I remember, let me, I think I have it here on my desk somewhere. There it is. I still have the flyer.
Yeah, I remember that. That was great.
So, yeah, did that.
It was that a really cool place, wasn't it? Yeah,
and it was really fun. And people came out and really enjoyed it. And the art got more known. And I think a lot of more people got into it. I got more friends in it right now. They actually asked me, hey, is there for this and that film, is there something out?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's cool. That's a good thing to help with the art. And I think also this podcast and the release podcast helps to find this kind of new art. And especially because I'm on Thursday, I'm going to talk to Patrick Conan, who does the think piece for you guys. And we will also focus a lot on the Vice Press edition stuff in that podcast. And so that's a good thing to that people can actually acquire some really, really cool art on the easy way.
Yeah, that's the whole idea there. Yeah, that was James who runs Vice Press. He wanted to do something that was more easily available, because obviously you have these amazing screen prints that sell out instantly, and it's really cool because it becomes a collectible thing, etc., etc. But also there's a section of people separate to that that just want, they just love the thing and they just want a nice alternative poster for the thing, and they don't want the stress of the drop and having to get it, and they don't, well, they don't even know, like every time I do a release there's always people straight after that are like, why can't I get it? Why is it sold out? What's going on? Yeah. So this is for those people. And that's not to say that we're going to stop doing, I'm going to stop doing screen prints and stuff, because I'm still going to do that, because they're like a whole different level. So
It is. Cool. And I think so as well. And I mean, I had the chance to get all four of your Star Wars prints, the both variants and both timed editions. So my wallet was bleeding a lot lately since Bottleneck came out with so much good stuff lately.
That's gonna carry on this week.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Some really good stuff coming out.
Yeah. Well, the bills need to be paid though.
Exactly.
So Bottleneck, they're like stand-up guys. I really enjoy also like talking to them and having the contact with them. And but I think every artist like so far on the release podcast that I focused on had a Bottleneck release or Vice Press affiliation. So that was so you guys
I've been working with Bottleneck for 8 years. So I've known Joe and Arsene and those guys for a long time, and they've always just been so good to me.
Yeah,
so I mean, that's why I want to pay it back to them as much as possible.
Yeah, to me as well, twice already. I mean, the gaps, John Wick, you see in the background here. I'll tell the story when Bottleneck comes up, because this is when I went in. It was like 2 weeks after the show, and I talked to them. It was really nice, and I was thinking about doing some stuff, because I work together with the local IMAX here, and we tried to get a special screening and a print for that. And I asked them how to approach this kind of way. And then we talked about it, and I looked around, and then when I was done, I don't know if it was Joe or Josh, I think it was Josh, he came over and gave me a tube. And I was like, what? And then I went to my hotel room, basically, because I couldn't wait, and then I unwrapped it. It was like the John Wick one in for the screening, so that was really cool.
And they are good boys.
Really, really like them. Okay, so do you collect as well, or?
Not so much. I get stuff if I want it.
Okay.
So I don't have mountains of things, but I've got a few different bits and bobs over the years. Obviously, if it's put out by Bottleneck or Vice Press, which is mine, I just can have it.
Yeah, sure.
But I do buy stuff as well. I like soundtracks, so I buy quite a few.
Oh, okay.
The Mondo soundtracks, because they're really well put together. So I got the Batman ones, all the Marvel ones, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I do. That's my thing. I like the soundtracks.
Okay. Speaking of Mondo, did you ever do something with them, or do you? I mean, since you basically worked in a record store and do this beautiful art, I mean, why didn't you do a soundtrack yet?
I was going to do a soundtrack. I was working with a company on something for Rogue One, but then it didn't happen. I don't know what happened. They just fell off a cliff. So I don't know what happened there. With Mondo, I guess, I've had interactions with them at conventions and stuff. They're nice guys. They seem nice, like nice guys. But they've never really been interested in working with me, which is fine, because they've got their own staple of artists and stuff. So I'm not bothered. I've got my own company and I can do stuff myself.
Okay.
So that's cool.
Is there going to be?
We're all cool.
Yeah. Is there going to be any music project in the future from Vice Press?
Probably not.
Okay.
In the far-flung future, maybe. You know, if we run out of things to do.
Okay, but by the way, what is the kind of music genre you listen to since you worked in a record shop?
I like all sorts, but mostly heavy metal music.
Okay. Do you buy vinyl records or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a record player back there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you can see it, but whatever.
And I think you're in for front of it, but yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. What's the last record you bought?
I bought the Mondo Endgame and Infinity War ones with all the Mac Taylor artwork.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
By the way,
They always do the colored vinyl, which is cool, but it never plays as well. That's my issue.
Yeah,
because I rip them out and play them. I know probably collectors probably don't do that, but I don't care. I rip them out, play them.
Sure, go ahead.
They never play quite as nicely as just a normal black record, but it's cool.
Speaking of those posters you bought and stuff you bought, what is the last thing you put up at home? Poster wise, art wise, or was it a mirror?
I'm thinking. It would be the Star Trek motion picture screen print that I got at last year's Thought Bubble. I don't know who put it out. It was Ben, is it Ben Bow? Uniquely Geekly.
Uniquely Geekly, yeah. I think it's
his name. Sale, so I don't know. It was official and everything, so it was a really nice screen print. I can't remember who did it, but somebody asked me to do separations for it when they were planning on doing it, and I was like, that's complicated.
Yeah.
And I didn't really do it, obviously. Okay. And then I bought it there because I saw it, so I don't know the story. I just love the poster. And it's up on my wall.
All right, I see. Speaking of separations... I'm quoting Matt Griffin here. He is the separation Jedi.
Nah.
That's what people talk.
It's just like anything. If you do it enough, you become relatively proficient in it. So I've done so many screen prints, and I've always been hands on, because I just want to know how it works, and how, because it's my artwork, obviously. And doing a screen print, no matter how many colors you do, is going to change it from the original art, especially like something like a painting or like a drusters and stuff. So I've always been really hands on, and I've just learned as I've gone along. Like the first few I did were terrible, and then you just learn tricks.
Okay.
So anybody that can't do it like Matt Griffin just needs to practice.
that's what he wants to do. And I talked to Joshua Budic, last time, and he's also like really he was like his podcast is coming out in August, and he also like was really going into detail, because like he loves to talk shop basically, and I think you guys would go along talking shop probably pretty
it's
well.
It's boring to anybody that doesn't know what you're talking about, all the dithers and traps and overprinting, and you can fake colors by doing different colors on top of each other, etc., etc.
But I mean, it's interesting stuff. I mean, I asked
like the work part of it for me. That's like the work. I like making the artwork, and then I always do the artwork first, and then think about turning it into a screen print afterwards. Whereas I've spoken to so many artists that think about those separations beforehand, and they have their set amount of colors.
Yeah, exactly.
And that can work having limitations, but I like to just go crazy and then see if I can force it into being a screen print afterwards.
Since you showed your record player and all of that from earlier before, I was wondering what does the rest of the office look like? And by the way, is that a flat file in at the bottom there? I mean,
it's not a flat file.
An improvised flat file, though, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's some tables from IKEA.
That's the greatest idea, man.
And then you just get little short legs and stack them up.
Man, that's the greatest idea.
So that cost about £50 or so.
Exactly.
I've got a flat file around there that's more.
Yeah. Real flat file. I got this black one, like for cheap on eBay basically. So that was a good thing to have. But that's a great idea. That's a good life.
You can get really good cheap ones on eBay though.
Yeah. And Germany not so much. It's like really hard to find.
Loads here. Loads.
This one I was lucky. I got for €100.
And
it was like basically like this grayish like office kind of gray color. And I like repainted it in all black and took out some stuff so that it looks like real nice and fits like with the other furniture. And so what does the rest of the office look like? I mean, I can see a little bit.
Really.
Yeah.
Transformers. Yeah. Some Lego, but it's mostly Transformers. All from the 1986 Transformers movie, which is one of my favorite movies.
And what is your the basically the front look like which we can see right now? Is it, can you describe it a little bit?
It's just trash everywhere. It's just a mess. I make it look tidy behind me, and everything's for me like this piled up.
That's the trick.
There's a window, which is illuminating.
Yeah.
I'm just in the attic of my house.
I see. And is that and speaking of like what is in front of you? What do you work on? But like what kind of?
I've got a surface. I work on a surface.
It's like a studio one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So I used to do Cintiq and all that.
Yeah.
And then I had my head turned by the surface, and I got one and like made the jump. I mean, God, they are definitely overpriced, but it's better than Cintiq. Definitely,
because
it's better than 4K display. The pen sensitivity has got better since they first came out.
Yeah,
it's not quite as good as Cintiq, but the benefits of that, of working on that one-to-one display, because it's huge, it's like 27 inches. It honestly makes all the difference. I think it's made my work a lot better working on that. You can work one-to-one.
That's great. I was wondering the whole time, because I have a Surface Book, and I used to like dabble a little bit like on the side, and I was wondering, because like everybody was doing, just get an iPad Pro, do that on your iPad.
No, I've got an iPad Pro. It's rubbish.
Okay. So the Surface. Okay, that's
Photoshop
how it is.
Photoshop on iPad is absolutely terrible. I got the iPad Pro because they said they were going to have Photoshop on it, and it's like a cut down version of Photoshop is, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Good to know. Good to know. Okay, so let's get onto your work. This was like what is happening in the past, basically. But what are you working on right now? Is there anything we can talk about?
I'm working on a video game thing that I'm under NDA for some video game.
Of course.
I have no idea what it is. I'm not into video games anymore, so I was just like, okay.
But it's not Fortnite, is it?
No, it's not Fortnite. They're all like that games nowadays.
Okay, yeah.
So that's just like client work. And then working on more stuff with Vice Press. Mm-hmm. I've got The World's End coming out.
Yeah.
Week after next. Okay. With Vice Press and Bottleneck. Mm-hmm. That's a new Spider-Man poster. Well, it's not a new Spider-Man poster. It's just a screen print of my old Spider-Man poster.
Yeah, I just put that. I just put that up. So is this from the DVD release? Was it DVD release or?
It was a cinema giveaway in the UK.
Okay, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. Okay.
Stuff I'm working on.
A lot of stuff, huh?
Yeah, I think that honestly that might be about it. There's all stuff planned out. Like there's more Indiana Jones. There's more Batman. Everyone thinks I'm going to do The Dark Knight next, you know, because I just did the Tumblr.
Yeah.
Batman Begins, but I think I'm going to do the old Batman 1966 first.
Okay, cool.
And then I'm going to do Batman animated, because I want to do all the vehicles.
Yeah.
I did the 89, and then I've done the Tumblr. Nice. So I want to do the 66 Batmobile, and then the animated Batmobile.
Okay,
and
cool.
And then maybe the new Batmobile from the new...
Are they gonna be like all? Can you all stack them like in the right angle?
Yeah, it'll be like that. You could do that, or you could just on straight.
But is
do them all on the angle thing.
Does it have that? Does the 89 and the Tumblr have the same angle?
Yeah, ish.
Okay.
I've got a template that I follow.
Okay. It's yeah. Like I was just wondering.
A diagonal line on the canvas, and I just sort of I don't do it exactly. I just roughly line it up.
Okay, perfect. Because that's what I try to do with the cover art. I like try to line it up. okay. And I wanted to know what is your approach to a project? How do you go about it? I mean, we've seen the Empire Strikes Back one with the sketches and all of that. But what else does a like a usual approach look like?
I tend to do collage, so I'll pull together all different images and things that I think are cool from the film and like throw them at Photoshop. I do the thumbnails, obviously. I tend to do the thumbnails if I'm stuck for an idea. So usually I'll find an idea quite quickly just on the computer or in my head. But with that Star Wars, I was stuck. So I watched the film and did the thumbnails while I was watching the film. And then that really helped. So if I'm ever stuck for an idea, I'll watch what I'm working on and do thumbnails while I'm watching it. And usually that sort of gives me an idea. Then once I've got an idea, I just make it. So it's a different process. Drawing by hand, drawing in the computer, painting, collaging. I do 3D, quite a lot of 3D now. So
okay, cool.
3D stuff's quite good to get perspective right and everything really quickly. And then sort of throw it all together.
What do you use for when you do the 3D work?
Oh, I'm not paying for anything. I just use Blender.
Okay, I was wondering which software.
Yeah, Blender's quite... I mean, I don't know because I've never really did it before, so I just got the free thing. But it seems to be really quite a well-put-together program. It's quite easy to use, and I've learned how to do stuff very quickly.
Okay.
You can, like, you can make buildings in seconds. It's so... You just... And then you stack it up.
Yeah.
And you just inset the windows, bang, 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 bosh, done. And you've got a building. And then you just clone it, make it more squat.
And then
you've got a city done.
Perfect.
Or at least the shapes. And then
yeah.
Use that as your guide. It's just so useful to get perspective. Like, okay, just bang on, right, straight on.
And how much time do you plan in for such a project? Like, for example, if Disney knocks and you don't have anything up like right now, but like how much time do you plan in?
It can be any amount of time from a week to months. Mm. It depends on what their schedule is, as well as with a company like Disney. Sometimes, obviously, they can be up against it with scheduling, and then I just work at it.
Okay.
So.
Okay, and how many projects do you have? Like, could you like say around like which kind of you're working on? Like,
Technically, at the moment, like three.
Okay.
But there's more stuff that's already started, like with Bottleneck.
Okay. Okay.
Like series, like the Batman stuff that I'm gonna finish.
Yeah.
But I've not actually started working on them yet.
Okay. And how do you like your prints to your licensed prints to come out? Is it do you like what kind of paper do you like? What kind of way the print you would like to go?
I like uncoated paper. French paper in America is really nice paper. That is always really nice, like textured feel to it. And then when if you go uncoated, you don't get any of that sheen, so you just get that nice, it's not even matte, it's more than that, it's like well, completely uncoated. So I like that. And then I think I like screen prints personally because of the how you've got to get creative to get them made, and then that does influence your decisions in terms of color and stuff like that because you're limited. So yeah, I like screen prints, I think, and lithos can look pretty good as well.
Okay, yeah, I'm really excited because I bought your Silent Running and the three droids, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, they're lithos, well, digital lithos, so yeah.
Exactly, because this is the first time I have a litho print, and because like a lot of people, like they were like, oh, it's a litho, I don't know about it, and
well,
stuff like that. So
you see, people don't know, but like I can say with some confidence that lithography has been around a long time. That's how old film posters were printed that are now super collectible. Screen printing obviously has also been around a long time, but what we've got now with the poster collecting scene is it's come out of the gig poster scene, which was all screen printed.
Yeah.
And then it was all more simple, fun, bish bash bosh, let's get this bit of promotional art done. And it's a much more sort of punk attitude to it. And then that's bled into via what Mondo do and stuff has bled into the collector's sort of psyche of it's got to be a screen print. And that's just nonsense.
Okay. Is there any idea or IP you want to work on in the future?
I think I've done most that I wanted to.
Okay.
And what I would want to do is like pure original key art. So obviously I've done the Empire Strikes Back, which is like new, but it's not the first poster.
Yeah.
So if a big Marvel film came out, I'd like to do the poster that was the big main poster.
Yeah, please do, because it's going to be better than, for example, what was Far From Home? This one, the IMAX poster, awful.
I don't think they had very long to make those. That's the only explanation I can think of, is that they just had a couple of days to make them.
But yeah, that would be great. I would love to see your take on the key art, which is probably different from the stuff you're doing now, right? Would you say so? Or would you think they would put like...
I would want to push it like towards like what I did with Empire Strikes Back and stuff like that and be more art-based. But obviously they have certain constraints, so they would probably want actors' faces and things like that, I would have thought. So you'd have to, it depends on the film as well, or really the marketing team that you're working with. But I think that it's changing.
Okay. The
marketing people are realizing that you can get more of a story out of like the alternative art or the fan art thing. Because it's not just like a homogenous design. It's like somebody made it and there's care and attention there.
Yeah.
It's not just a job.
Exactly. And what does it take? Would you like to do also sports maybe? Like for a sports team? Are you rooting for a sports team? Is that something you're interested in?
I'm not really a sports person. Apart from obviously now basketball, because I watched the Michael Jordan
documentary. There you go.
And I was looking at stats in between episodes and stuff. I've never even seen a game of basketball in my life.
It's funny.
I was into that because that's amazing. I'm not bothered about sports really.
But yeah, if
I do something like that, like if that was a documentary,
yeah, Okay.
Like that, I'd do a poster for that because that's like you could do something really cool with Michael Jordan.
Just wanted to say, please do that. I just saw the Rich Pellegrino one, who did that for Spoke Art. That was really cool. And the best part though was the remarks he did on it. He actually drew either like a sneaker, a trophy, a ring, or Michael Jordan itself on the bottom. And that looked really, really cool. And yeah, I would love to see a Michael Jordan poster. That's one of the things I really would want to have, because I used to play basketball for my whole life since I was young. And so that would be really cool to have. Really, really cool. Yeah, Matt, please do it. Vice Press Editions, here we go. And I think people would love it.
We'll see.
Okay. So this is the almost last question. Do you have any tips for beginners out there when it comes to hardware, software, utensils? We touched a little bit on that, but do you have any more like mentoring tips?
Well, all I can do is speak from my own experience. So really, you've just got to put your stuff out there. Because obviously, you can't just walk into a job without some kind of, this is what, especially an art-based job with, this is what I do. So you need like a folio. So you do need to do that to start off with. And then it's weird because there's like a transitional period because you're doing stuff just off your own back. You do whatever you want. And people like that. But then when you start doing like official artwork, there's more constraints and there's more legal things that you have to go through, obviously. So you just have to be prepared for that, I guess. It's a weird one because I've sort of fell into it. I just got really lucky. But put your stuff online. And then in terms of like, you don't need to have a style. You don't need to be like other artists. You can be influenced by other artists. But you just need to do... The thing is you don't... I see so many artists that like do the same thing. They try to do the same style for each poster. Now, I know I sometimes just will do a Dutch angle, but that's just because, you know, if in doubt, do a Dutch angle. But it's better to try and do the artwork it's right for the thing that you're doing. So do it for people that love Guardians of the Galaxy and do it. Come at it that from that angle instead of trying to force your own style into it's like a round peg in a square hole, I guess.
Okay,
if that makes sense. Probably doesn't make sense.
It makes sense.
I don't really think about it too much. I just do what I feel is right for each picture.
Yeah, and I think that works well. I mean, that's why it's so many different kind of styles to you. I mean, some pictures, I mean, especially the angle ones, you can tell that's a Matt Ferguson, but when you look at Guardians of the Galaxy and then look, for example, at Beetlejuice, I couldn't tell that those are like Matt Ferguson. So you have a wide range, I'd say. And it's,
well, that's because you're trying to do it for... I always have in my mind, with the Dutch angle stuff, it's a really easy way to get excitement and a feeling of like... Especially with comic book stuff, it makes it feel more comic booky because of like the classic Batman stuff. So it just enters into your mind straight away as that's a comic book. But... I always try to do it for people that like Beetlejuice, not people who like my artwork. So as you said, the Beetlejuice poster.
Yeah.
I did that for people who like Beetlejuice, not people who like what I do.
Yeah.
That's the distinction, I think.
The Beetlejuice one, I just pulled it up for everybody to see, and it's a really great print. I actually have that. I think I got it in a mystery tube, so that was kind of cool to have. And did not know that it was existing before, so I was really lucky. And Beetlejuice, it's a fun film. I really enjoyed that one, and it fits very cool, and it's a very cool perspective. And even in some kind of sense, you even use this kind of Dutch angle on the frames because they are like not straight. And
well, that's because in the film that happens, there's a bit where the fireplace that sort of comes alive, and it all when they're in the sort of the ghost world.
Yeah.
All the angles are off, like an old, an old German expressionist film, you know, The Cabinet of Dr.
Caligari.
So that was me trying to give that aspect to it.
Ah, okay, I see. Yeah, speaking of Dr. Caligari, that was also made here in Berlin in the studios. And there's like this film museum, the German Film Museum, and they have so much stuff on those old films on there, and like actual props and cool things.
Yeah.
So it's like really cool to see.
So influential. It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So now we are at the social media round. I gathered some questions you could already see because I asked the people on the blog and I asked people on
I've not looked
Instagram.
at any of that.
Okay. Perfect.
So I'm
Okay.
going in cold.
Yep. So Jess Ranostage wants to know, has a company ever commissioned a poster or art for you that you didn't really want to do?
No, but sometimes you might work with a company and it turns into something that you didn't want to do because the company is terrible. Now, that's never happened with Disney or Marvel or Lucasfilm. They are incredible to work with, so I'm not talking about them. Never had anything but a wonderful time. But sometimes you might work with a company where their sort of feedback or art direction doesn't gel.
Okay. And she also wants to know, have you ever considered or worked in other art mediums like sculptures, resins, comic strips, paintings?
Don't know really.
Okay.
Okay.
Basically, that's the answer you gave to her early on, so she knows. Okay, yeah, let's leave it at that. Tyler Dempsey wanted to know, are there any favorite Easter eggs you snuck into a piece? And I basically told him, yeah, it's probably going to be the unicorn, but is there anything else you did?
I do the unicorn a lot. On the Star Wars recently, The Empire Strikes Back, I put in a little probe
Oh,
droid.
yeah.
Just.
Schwarzenegger on the Predator print.
Yeah, I hid Schwarzenegger in the tree. Are there any other Easter eggs? Probably. It's nice to do that, though, sort of little
Yeah.
things. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Okay.
So. Oh no,
Okay.
yeah, no. Sometimes if I've got numbers, so like on Escape from New York, it's my wedding anniversary on the timer.
Ah, okay. There you go. That's a cool Easter egg. Good to know, everybody. Now you know when you need to congratulate this man and his wife.
Pretty sure it's the wedding anniversary. It's either that or my wife's birthday. Anyway, whatever.
Okay, so here goes. Here's some. We're gonna get started. We're gonna get into the weird territory. Joe Wong, he wants to know, what's your perfect Sunday?
Get up, have breakfast, watch some cartoons, usually Bluey's pretty good, with my daughter. Have lunch, hang out, go to the park, have dinner, watch some TV, go to bed.
Okay, perfect, perfect Sunday. By the way, I wanted to come back to you to your daughter real quick. Do you art for her room basically, or do you like, for example, get like the Tom Whalen Frozen 2 print and put it up in her
I've
room?
got one picture that I made for her first birthday, which is a Moana poster,
Okay.
which is a one of one for her.
Yeah.
And then the rest is all Raid 71 posters. So it's My Neighbor Totoro, Finding Nemo, Watership Down. Because all of his posters have that really cool, similar
Yeah.
color palette, so they fit together really nicely.
Yeah. Alrighty, and the last one is from James Hobson, and he has the weirdest question ever, but I hope you can answer that. Would you rather prefer nipples that release tea or a nose that sneezes chocolate?
A nose that sneezes chocolate.
And the reasoning is.
I like chocolate.
All right, there you go. Okay, so we are basically through here, and before we're gonna go, I wanted to talk a little bit more about your the company Vice Press. So you are the co-founder of it, right? Or
Yep.
yeah, and how did this all start?
That would be because of Thought Bubble. So my business partner came up to me 1 year at Thought Bubble, and I thought he was another weirdo wanting to buy posters. And he was another weirdo wanting to buy posters, but he also had a blog, back then that he did called Cult Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he's quite a cool guy, and he's got good taste in posters. I mean, he likes to buy my posters, so good taste. And then we just became friends, really. That was like in 2013. And then over the course of like a year or two, we just both thought we could do our own thing. He loves 2000 AD as well. And mm-hmm. that's kind of like what we started with Vice Press, is we wanted to do 2000 AD out, because I'd always wanted to do Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
And then that led to me actually doing cover artwork for the comic, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So that was it. It just came out of us wanting to do stuff that we wanted to do and wanted to see.
Mm.
And then it's just grown and organically into a company.
Mm. Where do you see this going in the future? Is there any like goals you have in mind?
World domination.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. And it starts with the edition, so people can get the seeds out there and support your world domination here. Okay. In the end, I want to give you a chance to shout out some other artists, your family, your parents, whoever you want to shout out. And let us please know after that where people can find you.
Shout out who?
You can decide. Your parents, friends, artists, your wife, your daughter.
They know who they are. It's fine. Look, yeah, they know who they are. I'm not shouting anybody out.
Okay, but then... Okay, easy enough. I mean, other artists, they always say, just check out my Instagram. That's why I support other artists.
Yeah, just Google Matt Ferguson. That's the best way to get me. Just Google my name.
Okay, Google the name. You can find him everywhere. He's linked.
I'm not. It's easy.
Yeah, you can't miss it. He's on Vice Press News. It's on Instagram, at Vice Press News. He's at Matt Ferguson Artist.
He's doing it all for me.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm helping you. And Twitter everywhere. You can find him. Matt Ferguson is easily findable if you want to.
I am, yeah.
And since...
Yeah, really so.
And since the world domination is happening, you... cannot not find him, so there you go.
Okay.
Alrighty. Matt, thank you so much for stopping by, and thank you for all the listeners and viewers out there. Please tune in to our next episode, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast onto our IG page at DropMac Official. Leave us comments, shoutouts, or topics and questions for our next show. Bye guys.
Bye.